Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now close your eyes for a second and picture a monastery. What do you see? Maybe a pagoda-like structure on a grassy mountaintop? Well, as an urban monk, Gadadhara Pandit Das's monastery is a six-story brownstone on the same block as a drag bar, a tattoo shop, and a funeral parlor just off Houston Street. In his new book, Urban Monk, Exploring Karma, Consciousness, and the Divine, Pandit describes his spiritual journey and what it's like to be a monk here in New York. Among other things, he's the first ever Hindu religious life advisor at Columbia University and NYU. He's also the interfaith chaplain at the Union Theological Seminary here in New York and is a regular contributor to the Huffington Post. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. I'm happy to be here.
So you say that when people ask you why you chose to become a monk, there's a short answer and a long answer. What's the short answer?
The short answer is I wasn't fully satisfied with life the way everybody was living it. Because growing up, my parents had a lot of money. We had everything you can imagine.
Where was that?
In Los Angeles, California. So we had a $1 million house on the hill with a swimming pool overlooking all of downtown Los Angeles. And after having lost all of that, I really began to introspect what the meaning of life was. If the meaning of life was to have money and all of these things, well, I had it. And I realized it was really out of my control that everything, just basically, we were stripped of everything. And it made me ponder, you know, what is permanent in life? And, you know, how can I aspire for something that's really permanent? And that led me to my own spiritual pursuits.
And so now, as the book tells us, your day begins at 5 a.m. on the Lower East Side when the alarm on your iPhone goes off, maybe not exactly how people out there might picture a monk's morning beginning. Are there misconceptions about what it means to have this lifestyle?
I think there's a ton of misconceptions. You know, people, first of all, are surprised that I'm living in New York City. You know, being a monk and living in New York, you know, why not someplace more rural like you described earlier, just someplace isolated, removed? But the idea is that, you know, some monks choose to live in the city because this is where spirituality is needed the most. I don't know if there's any other place on the planet that's as stressed out as as New York and New Yorkers. And so the greater the stress, I think there's more of a need for people who want to help others try to find a balance with their spiritual and material
pursuits. I mentioned your university affiliations. Do you have kind of an elite strand of your work and something that's more street-oriented?
Well, the lecturing and the meditation sessions that I lead and the cooking classes that I teach are pretty much the same exact thing that I do at the universities, not just here, but also around the country. And I do a lot of lecturing in yoga studios and yoga festivals. And the material is the same because the material is basically addressing people's needs of how to deal with stress and how to deal with the difficulties in life. And whether you're a college student or whether you're in the working world, I think people's situations and problems kind of stay the same. They just take on slightly different shapes and forms, but they're basically the same.
And you practice a strand of Hinduism known as Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I think I said that right, but that's generally better known as Hare Krishna. And when people hear that term, maybe they think of being accosted in airports or George Harrison. Is there a modern Hare Krishna movement that's different from stereotypes people may have from the 70s or whenever?
Yeah, things are changing a lot for us in the movement, and they have changed a lot for us in the movement. I think for the most part, at least in North America, I don't think we're so much in the airports. I think we got kicked out, basically. And there's a lot fewer monks within our tradition than there used to be. That's why you don't see us out on the streets as much. Most of the monks got married. So there's very few monks remaining. It's probably just a few percentage.
Now we know one difference from Catholicism, but go ahead.
Yes. there's very few monks. And, you know, now we're doing more things. Like I'm a chaplain at a few different universities. Several members of our community are chaplains. We've entered academia and we have a lot more working professionals. Like before, in the 60s and 70s, a majority of our members were Western people. Now you've got, lots of Indians in the country, and for them, this is very much a part of their Hindu tradition. So there's a much more of a blend between, and with actually, there's a majority of Indians as part of the Hare Krishna movement now, as opposed to the Western following.
You write that you loved to watch movies as a child growing up in California. Now you found a way to use movies as spiritual teachings. Give me an example.
Yeah, it's great when you can combine two things that you love, spirituality and entertainment. Well, one thing that I've done is when I first saw the movie The Matrix, I found that it had a lot of similar themes to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, which is one of the main spiritual texts of India. And, you know, one of the similarities is the character Neo in The Matrix. He's confused. He's looking for a higher reality. He wants to get out of the Matrix. Arjuna, the hero of the Bhagavad Gita, is speaking to Krishna, and he's expressing how confused he is, and he's not sure that he wants to do his own engage in the battle that he's supposed to engage in. And for me, why that was very similar was because I went through a similar stage in my life when my parents had lost everything. I felt like I was Neo. I felt like I was Arjuna. So now I show sometimes clips of the movie and compare them to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. And people really love it because they'd seen the movie. Most of them have seen the movie, but never made these spiritual connections.
And you went through a phase where you cut yourself off from film and TV and news media, right? But then decided to incorporate it. What was that transition like?
This was, I think, the first 4 years of my monastery from 2000 to 2004, living right in the Lower East Side. I just needed a break from everything. And what was it like? I'll tell you, it was actually quite peaceful. Not knowing, not to say that ignorance is bliss, but I just, you know, didn't really feel a need to know everything that was happening. Because in one sense, every day you can almost predict what's kind of happening in the world. People are people, and we do the same things. We make the same mistakes. And so for me, it was kind of a relief just to take those 4 years and just really dive into my own spiritual culture and look inward a lot because, you know, news and everything, what's happening over there, what's happening to this person, to that person, and we really lose ourselves in trying to figure out what's happening outside. So I thought those 4 years were really powerful because I really had a chance to introspect and look inward and study my own spiritual texts.
So in our last minute, it's such an eternal tension in the spiritual quest, isn't it? To look inward in a way that may make people think of that stereotype of sitting on a mountaintop to achieve enlightenment, but engaging with the world as you find it and as you try to make it better as being maybe a more real spiritual quest.
Yes, definitely. And that's the whole premise of the Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna, he is not a monk. He's not a renunciate. He's a warrior. And I think living in New York, you're qualified as a warrior. You know, you're dealing with so many different things every single day. And the ideal thing is to learn to deal with your stuff, your relationships, your work, and all the other pressures of life, and incorporate meditation into your life and prayer and meditation. You know, just like we eat food every day and hopefully we take a bath every day, I think it's nice if we can incorporate meditation into our life every day.
Gadadhara Pandit Dasa is the author of Urban Monk, Exploring Karma, Consciousness, and the Divine. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.